You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Your voice.
Your station. Let's walk the talk.
702.
702.
The trust deficit between police and communities and generally South Africans has been of a serious topic of late, simply because we have seen a number of issues playing themselves out. You know that the police ministry and the South African Police Service have been engaging the residents of West Village in Krugersdorp and Kagiso. This was all in the effort to address policing needs in the community. You saw on TV yesterday, communities were really, really angry, and the crime combating Mbizo sought to provide residents with the platform just to engage and discuss issues on SAPS, on identifying crimes afflicting the communities. However, the Kagiso community has blamed poor policing for the deepening illegal mining crisis and the criminal syndicates that have encroached on the area. How do we fix the trust deficit between the police and communities? And to help us with this topic, we are joined on the line by Eldred de Klerk. And Eldred is a senior policing and social conflict specialist at Africa Center for Security. Eldred, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Thabo, and good morning to your listeners.
The issues that I've just mentioned, it's not just Kagiso. We had issues at the Soweto shootout recently. We had issues in Tembisa, and we had issues at Gqeberha not too long ago. Are these primarily the source of this trust deficit between communities, South Africans, and the police?
Not really. The police and how it goes about doing its job is a reflection of how we understand what is needed in the country. The police can chase around after criminals. It can launch operation after operation. Unless this fits into a broader strategic development-driven strategy, then all of that is going to be fruitless. Not fruitless. Let me not say that. We're going to yield very short-term returns, and we're not going to have sustainable development in them and changes in the lives of the people. This is what's lacking in the country, and this is where the narrative is skewed, because the narrative, yes, correctly, is focused on what concerns people in the moment. Yet, politically, at a strategic level, the level of cabinet and parliament and government, all levels of government, there needs to be a broader consideration that crime and violence is happening within the context of no development and a state that has no capability. So we need to grow the state's capability, and we need to set clear strategic directions with one or two priorities to which all government spend and effort can be aligned, and that is to improve the material conditions of people's lives.
Mm. But this overwhelming sentiment of a trust deficit, surely if it doesn't only come from these national incidents that have been mentioned and that have been reflected prominently in the media, I'm sure there are anecdotal issues as well. There are personal issues that communities have felt by going to a police station to report crime, as we've heard yesterday in Kagiso when the police minister was there. A lot of people were blaming the police station, meaning their point of contact as far as safety and security is concerned.
Absolutely, and the trust deficit reflects the issue of governance, and it reflects the issue of service. Because how do we change the relationship between the police and us, the people they serve, is through every single contact that a police officer has with the citizens that they serve. If they, in their endeavors and their engagement with citizens, treat us with the necessary dignity and respect and understand that they're providing a public service, we can slowly but surely begin to change those relationships. And let's pay homage to those thousands of police officers who do their job without reservation want to treat citizens with respect. Unfortunately, because they wear a uniform and because they are seen as a single entity, what one police officer does, the rudeness of a single police officer, the disinterest of a single police officer, dismissing the citizens, shouting at them and treating them with indignity, that is seen as pervasive in the institution, and we don't trust the institution itself. And I understand the frustrations of police officers who simply don't have the capability, not talking capacity here, I'm talking capability, to deal, and then don't get the necessary support to deal with all that they have to deal with.
And someone may say, Eldred, that it takes two to tango. For this trust to be lost, you have two parties here. You have communities and you have the police. And it's often easier to point at the one who's at the point of authority. However, could it be that there is a blame finger to be pointed at communities as well, somewhat? Abuse of policies? Yeah.
Indeed. I mean, look, in terms of the kind of politics that we talk about, which is often local politics around controlling, being able to control and influence how development is managed, how access to resources and budget spend, that is very prevalent, and that may see some people acting in their own self and selfish interest and not necessarily the interest of the broader community. And yes, indeed, there are community members, including myself and maybe all of us, who get frustrated at the state, and we require them to be able to deliver services to a particular standard. And this is where we have the other part of the equation. Do we even know, and have we engaged through Imbizo, what does quality public service look like? And we also need to change the narrative from efficiency, which is run by finance department and bureaucrats, and we need to turn to effectiveness. How are we spending local government money to make a change within the lives of community? Or are we simply maintaining the same bureaucratic focus on efficiency, where we can dot the I's and cross the T's and go through a checkbook exercise, and we seem to be in constant crisis management? The fact that we're chasing our tails, this is what communities are getting frustrated with. This is where the anger is boiling over. And declarations is not how you execute power, and declaration is not how you use power. You use power to build capability and to direct the state to change the political economy that actually sees the poor being poorer and the rich getting richer. This is what people are frustrated about. So in the context of that, when I look at, you rightfully say, somebody with authority, somebody who I see represents the state, that becomes an unnecessary acrimonious relationship when it shouldn't really be acrimonious, where the police themselves can say, this is my job, I need you to work with me, I'm happy to work with you on the job, let us together go to other departments of state, because I need them also to do their job. The police are the professionals. They can help walk the talk, as you rightfully say, with communities, as opposed to seeing communities as somebody who they simply render services to, rather than taking themselves seriously when they say they're in partnership with communities to affect the quality of people's lives. They're not just there to fight crime and violence. They're there to fulfill the developmental objectives of the state, which includes public safety and living without fear. That's a developmental objective. So let's focus on the objectives while we deal with incidents of crime and violence.
Bridging the trust between communities and the police is our discussion right now, and we are joined by Eldred de Klerk, who is a senior policing and social conflict specialist at Africa Center for Security. And we're just delving into these issues because over the past few weeks, we have seen communities up in arms and really complaining about the trust deficit between themselves and the police, and saying, we cannot trust our police stations. We really cannot trust our police. We do not feel safe after a myriad of criminal activities that have been reported wildly in the media. And I would love to hear from you on 011-883-0702. Do you trust your police station? Is it the first point of call that you make when there is an issue? How do you feel about it? Do you know who your station commissioner is? Do you know the police in your area? And do you know the number to call of your own police station? I'd love to hear from you if you trust your own police, particularly where you stay, where you reside, if you have a relationship between yourself and the police. Eldred, I'm wondering as well, to what extent is there an unrealistic expectation by our communities on the police, on the backdrop of having to having the inability at times to distinguish between the broader sectors of the criminal justice system? The police might have arrested a culprit in this instance, and the court might release this person. However, at times it is the police who get the flak for this other arm of the criminal justice system, simply because they are at the forefront of this engagement. Could this be another dynamic that we need to delve into?
Absolutely. And your introduction and your strap line says it all. It's a lack of relationship at a local level, because this is not where we're placing the emphasis. And it's a lack of information. When we look in the world of conflict resolution, we normally say that any conflict that is driven by a lack of information is actually not a conflict, because once people know, hopefully they understand what their options are. So it is incumbent upon the local station to build that relationship. And this is why it is hugely problematic when somebody simply flood an area with police officers who come in with good intentions. They saturate the area, they're there for a short period of time, they turn things upside down, and when they leave, there's nothing in place to continue to build the relationship between the local police station and the actual community who they serve. Mm. And therefore, we also need a broader contention. What is the role of commerce, of retail, of industry? So when we look at the world of work, do people have sufficient time to actually attend to the governance and decision-making that affects their communities? And I would say no, because they all having to work shifts, they're having to travel excruciating distances to get to and from work, and they have to work in remote areas from where they live. And this is hugely problematic when it comes to governance and being able to get involved in the life of your community.
I'm wondering if a structure such as the community policing forums are really effective and doing enough, because they ought to be, at least in theory, a bridge between communities and the police. These structures, to what extent are they executing their duties efficiently? Because we are looking at them at this present moment, and you wonder if they really exist, and if they do, are they efficient?
Absolutely, but they're the worker. That word efficiency again, Thabo, you're absolutely right. What is the focus of community police forums, and where and what are they actually doing? Community police forums, neighborhood watches and the like are not force multipliers of the police. They don't do police work. They can and should be doing things like being community assessors when it comes to court cases where people accused of sexual violence or gender-based violence are seeking to get bail. That is when community police forums can be friends of the court in providing a community perspective. They should be visiting cells to make sure that the cells are clean, that people are treated with dignity. They should be, as you say, building bridges consciously between all tiers of government, including local government. They should be working with community, with the police, just to look at areas where community factors like, lack of street lighting, the potholes that we're focusing on today, how all of those are coming together to be drivers of crime. So what the community police forums focus on and how they engage communities, they're not an avenue to becoming the next councillor or the next political representative. That's not what they're there for. Mm. So who, and also remember, you and I don't have to belong to a community group to be part of a community police forum. I can go there simply because I'm a resident in the area.
Yeah.
And this is what we all, and they're also critical in getting our quality information to communities as to the telephone numbers they need to call, what services they should be accessing. All of those things are where community police forums and ward committees should be focusing together. You're absolutely right.
Great. Let's go to the calls. 011-883-0702. Ntuli, you are giving us a call from Alberton. Good morning to you.
Hi, Thabo. Thabo, we are talking to Ntuli. Thabo, I hear your conversation of building the trust between the police and the community. Thabo, it has been it's almost decades now. Still, it's not working. And Thabo, please agree with me. If you say to me, Ntuli, I don't trust you, then you don't trust me. I can do whatever. You've got the reason why you don't trust me. Okay, that one.
Okay.
Olden days, Thabo, the old government used to do? The retired people used to come back. Look, we are talking here about the well-experienced investigators. They will come back and work in the office, advising the young people. Now, here you are taking completely inexperienced people, leaving the most experienced people at home, lying with their experiences. I think that can also help Dan to say, let's build the trust between the community and the police, which is not working for us. And crime continuously going on, Thabo.
Sure, Ntuli, from what I'm hearing from you right now, I'm picking the fact up that you don't trust your police. Is it right?
No. Myself, I trust the police, but okay. I'm talking about the entire community.
I agree. I was just wondering from a personal viewpoint. Viewpoint, Ntuli, from your personal viewpoint, do you trust your police station? Do you know who your station commissioner is? And do you have a relationship with them?
Thabo, myself, personally, I trust the police.
Okay.
I'm from there. I know the station commander. I do visit them, and I love them. You know, I love them.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. One day we should perhaps have a topic about loving the police. Really, really appreciate it. Eldred, how would you comment to Ntuli's call there? He's reflecting on something very important. At first, he says, trust is trust. It has to be earned. If I don't trust Eldred, you are the one who must work hard to gain or regain the trust.
He's absolutely right. And we can shout at communities to say that they're not doing their job, or they're not coming things, because unfortunately, these imbezos come during and at worst after a crisis. And then when we do have these imbezos, for example, when we do have an opportunity to listen to communities, we have the wrong people at the table. Well, let me say it this way. We don't have enough of the right people at the table, because this is where the other tiers of government, both local, provincial, and other departments, are not present. So it falls to the police to carry the burden of that conversation and then to make declarations as to how they're going to continue going forward. And trust is lost when you make a promise or a declaration and you don't follow through. And this is not just about providing additional vans and more detectives. Those things are all important. There's the relationships, as you were rightfully saying, that you continue to build, and the ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
And this is where you need to harness, unfortunately, the people closest to those communities. So what role for our councillors, what roles for our ward committees, our CPFs, our station commissioners, and I want to stop calling them commanders, because these people should have the duty and responsibility and the resources and the capabilities to police their precincts so that they can actually make a difference in the lives of people.
Eldred, I'm going to ask you if I can just take two calls before we close this conversation, and then I'm going to ask you to wrap up on your
Thank
thoughts
you
about
much.
What you think about it. Nikki, you are giving us a call from Orlando. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Nikki.
The issue is about 10111. My issue is about 10111. You know, when you call 10111, it's a problem. You know, you are in the long queue, and you will be told if it's not agent, you know, press 1, press 2.
Yeah.
And if you do get through, they'll refer you to a police station, you know, to a local police station, where they don't have service. You know, they'll tell you that we've got only 2 vans to serve 300,000 people. What's happening to the old 10111? We used to call, and the response was very rapid.
Yeah.
What happened to that, you know, to the 10111? And also, the last thing is, when you say, maybe perhaps you're in Diepkloof, they'll say Diepkloof. You know, they send people to wrong places. It's no longer functioning the way it used to. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. And I suppose those are some of the issues that may lead to a breakdown of trust, as Nikki has said there. 011-883-0702. I saw Marcus was on the line, but in the meantime, do you want to respond to Nikki, Eldred?
Yes, absolutely. Your first caller was saying about what is the life experience and authority of the people who actually serve at a local police station, that they may be junior. They may be, quite frankly, immature. And this is where the senior officers should not be sitting behind their desk. Why can't a captain, a colonel, and these ranks may mean nothing to most of us, be the ones actually taking a statement at a local level? Why are these not the people who are directing and helping build the bridges and helping communities access information and access resources? Because if that, you know, 80% of the police's work is actually helping communities solve problems and not fight crime. And this is where they're mostly letting communities down, because the focus has unfortunately become on so-called crime combating rather than prevention, protection, and service.
Sure. I just want to quickly go to the voice notes and we'll come up and wrap up, Eldred. The voice notes that also came up on our line, I'll give it to you in a second, 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Thabo and the team. Thabo, I lost trust and faith in the police. You know, I stay with a drug dealer, someone who sells drugs in the same yard. Whenever I call the police and report this guy, they come and befriend him and take bribe every day. And to me, it's like a spit on my face.
Hi, Thabo. Lebogang from Centurion here. Nope, I do not trust my local police. I've been sexually harassed by my local police at a roadblock. I once had a bail application for a family friend who qualified for police bail. She was pregnant, but I was told that if I do not make it, quote unquote, worth their while, they'll make sure they take time. They would tell me they can't find the station commander. They would tell me this and this and this until I gave them something to make their night sweet. So I would rather call our local community police forum if there's any problems. Other than that, literally calling the SAPS would be my last resort.
Great. Eldred, in 25 seconds, I know it's too much to ask, where do we go from here?
Thabo, thank you for starting this conversation. It needs to be an ongoing one. Policing is not going to change because police need to be focused themselves on fulfilling the development agenda of the state. And the state itself needs to focus on development and build the capability, including the capability of the police. And the focus is very simple. It needs to move from doing things well or having good things to doing the right things well. And I think all your callers and those on voice notes have focused on the fact that police need to do the right things well, consistently, and they need to do that in service of us, the citizens of this country.
Thank you so much, Eldred de Klerk, Senior Policing and Social Conflict Specialist at Africa Center for Security. It's 10:31.